This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
There are not many businesses established before Merdeka that remain in operation today. And there are definitely only a handful that remain operating, not only in the same location, but with the same fierce resilience, success, customer loyalty, and their reputation intact. One business that boasts being all of this and more is sports equipment retailer GS Gill. So as we celebrate 60 years of independence, we shine the spotlight on this truly made-in-Malaysia business built on sheer determination and hard work. You are listening to Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. Now every year, just before Merdeka, we here at BFM get our heads cracking. What's a good Merdeka story to tell as we commemorate our country's independence? A story of strength, a story of resilience, a story that makes us feel proud to be Malaysians. This year, for some reason, maybe it's because of the 2017 SEA Games or because my head's always just wrapped around sports, I thought of this GS Gill story. The story of a man who sacrificed his dream to build from scratch and run the country's largest sporting goods shop. There's really not much you can find about this man and his legacy online. You have to hear it from the people who've been to his store in Jalan Tunku Abdul Rahman, the people who've had the opportunity to work with him and be around him, and the people who grew up enjoying the service his business so graciously provided for more than 70 years, even after his passing. So to do just that, we speak to his grandson, Mahavir Singh, who currently runs the sporting goods store today, some GS Gill employees and customers who for some reason have a fierce sense of loyalty when it comes to GS Gill.
Okay, my name is Mahavir. They call me Javi. I've been here for about 14 years, give and take. I started off in the showroom as a showroom supervisor. Actually, sales assistant first, and then supervisor, and then now I manage the retail side. Relationship-wise, yeah, we were close. He used to take us out for golf and dinners and take us out if we achieved good results in school. Of course, when you grow older, then your interest kind of differs a bit. But when we were here, we used to still talk once a while.
So are all his grandkids involved in the business today?
No. My sister, she's in England. She's working there, pharmaceutical trials. My cousin of mine, which is my mom's sister's daughter, she's in Australia. She just set up her own company. They do events.
So did you always know that you would one day pick up the baton and carry on the family business?
Yeah, I liked it when I was young. I used to visit shop a lot when I was young, and I guess, yeah, there's something I wanted to do. Interest built up from there.
Javi Singh basically grew up in the GS Gill store in Jalan Tunku Abdul Rahman. You may not hear it in his voice, but he gets a little emotional speaking about his grandfather. Tan Sri Datuk GS Gill passed away just a year back in August 2016 at the ripe old age of 92. He was a super hands-on boss even when he was in his 80s, and I guess his presence at the store is still felt and missed, especially by his family. It all started in 1946. Tan Sri Datuk GS Gill apparently used all of his savings to open a small shop in Batu Road, which is now known as Jalan Tunku Abdul Rahman, where he sold anything he could get his hands on, from jams to cigarettes to textiles. And his foray into sporting goods reportedly happened when a friend suggested that he sell shuttlecocks.
Basically, how he started was he wanted to do medicine. So after his O-levels, he didn't have enough money. So he thought, okay, I'll start a small business first and then collect my money and leave. But then when he started off, he started selling cigarettes and textiles and doing newsletters after the war, World War. And slowly, started doing well in business. He started bringing bicycles, sports stuff. And his friends told him, what do you want to do medicine when you're good in this? That's how he continued. And in 1953, he met this guy, British guy, who's carrying a Adidas catalog. At the time, no one knew Adidas in Malaysia. And he said, he looked through the catalog and he said, okay, we'll bring it in. And that's how we started.
The business basically transformed after bringing Adidas into the fold.
Yeah. He brought in other stuff as well, which was okay. But when he brought in Adidas, he started, he was the owner, he was the salesman, he was doing everything. So what he did was, he basically went shop to shop, state to state. And in the end, by the next few years, he had 40 outlets that he was supplying to. About 30 to 40, if I'm not mistaken. And more after that, more and more after that. And until about 1995, if I'm not mistaken, where they opened up their own office.
So back then, if I think you would ask anyone about sports equipment and where to go to, they would tell you, Tunku Abdul Rahman to GS Gill. Was it because he was just the biggest distributor of sports equipment at that point? Or was it the name or was it the service? What do you think made everyone think of GS Gill when they thought about buying sports stuff?
I think it's a combination of everything. Number one, yes, he was the main, one of the main ones, if not the main at the time. And also the service that everyone got. And he'll never turn a customer down. He'll never say, no, we don't have. It's always, okay, I'll try to get it for you. Or if they don't have it, he'll look for it. So that kept customers coming back. And also he did approach schools, government officers. So that's where also the reputation and the relationship built up.
According to the NST, Tan Sri Datuk GS Gill had, within a decade of opening his store in KL, made his name synonymous with sports equipment and sports development in Malaysia. This is because of the licensee agreement with Adidas, which helped him distribute the sportswear giant's products in Malaysia and Singapore, and later expand that to Indonesia and Thailand. And of course, in 1957, everyone knew GS Gill, thanks to Tan Sri Datuk's idea to supply sportswear and equipment to the national football team free of charge. GS Gill is one of the few shops I know that actually carries a lot of equipment for, like you just mentioned, children. I remember when I was little, I came and got my first hockey stick here and I was only 5 years old. It was one of those mini hockey sticks and you couldn't get it anywhere else. He had a thing for children, didn't he?
Yeah, he loves kids. He loves school. He loves children. He always has a soft heart for kids anyway. That was his idea as well, I think, where he wanted to promote sports from a young age so that they grow up, they start doing it. Otherwise, if they don't, they might not do it in the end. Because even when he was young, he was an avid sportsman. Bicycle, hockey, tennis. So he grew up, that's how he grew up as well. So that's what I think he wanted to encourage others to do.
Now, if you go look at GS Gill's Facebook page, you'll come across this photo of the signboard outside the store from back in the 50s or 60s. And that signboard reads, GS Gill, anything and everything a sportsman requires. And that is truly what the store was and continues to be in the eyes of its loyal customers, many of whom were unawares of the many challenges that Tan Sri Datuk GS Gill had to endure, especially in the early years of his business.
At the start, because he started ordering goods from overseas, from Pakistan, from India, and most times than not, they come not per by the order. It's either half of the order or it just doesn't come at all, or they would send different things over. Amount had already been paid, you know. So that was a challenging part as well, and also the timing. Those days, of course, it took a long time for the goods to arrive. And also, it couldn't come in direct. It had come in through Singapore as well, some of the things. But then after that, they changed it. He actually went for golf with our late Tunku Abdul Rahman and told him to not to charge tax on sports items.
Wow.
Yeah.
And on, that happened?
Especially football. I'm not sure for sports, but for football, yes.
How did he establish a relationship with our former Prime Minister, first Prime Minister?
I can't remember the story, actually, but I know they used to play golf together. Or maybe they were members of the same club, but maybe. But, yeah.
So, you were talking about bringing in goods from overseas. How did he source for goods back then? What was it like? Because today, you can just go online and you can find a...
just making calls, fax. I think they do. They also did have people coming down trying to sell, promote their items. Yeah.
The sports equipment segment in retail today is a whole different ball game. You've got standalone Pumas, Adidas, Nikes, Reeboks, you name it. And yet GS Gill is still standing strong. Is there a secret to it? Is it heritage? Is it your location? Is it the name?
Okay, I think it's heritage, firstly. People still come back here after 20 years. Even though they have Adidas outlets anywhere else, but they still come back here. Secondly, it's also passed on from generation to generation. Like, customers come here. I used to come here with my dad, or I used to come here with my mom, you know, things like that. And also, in the end, is the name. Especially with, like I said before, from schools and government. It's more like they trust the name more than anything else. And it's also we try to build a relationship with our customers. Not just, okay, you come, you buy, bye-bye. You know, it's more of a relationship thing. We follow up, you know, everything okay. That's occasionally send promotions to our regular customers that we have contact with. Things like that, just to keep them coming back. Yeah. And location-wise, yes, those days, yes, of course, he was... KL is KL. But now you got the same thing everywhere else. You know, malls. And the shops here have changed as well. It's not the same as those days. Now you walk around, you're going to get same shop. Those days was more of a variety and people used to come because there was a bit of variety. Now you got the Mid Valleys, you got the KLCCs, you got so many other towns, smaller towns that open up as well.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we take a closer look at the sports equipment retail segment and the legacy Tan Sri Dato' GS Gill left behind. The Enterprise Merdeka Special will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you're still listening to Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. It's our Merdeka special and we're shining the spotlight on a truly made-in-Malaysia business built on sheer determination and hard work. GS Gill Sdn Bhd has been around for more than 70 years thanks to the sacrifices and dedication of its founder, Tan Sri Dato' GS Gill, who passed away last August at the age of 92. He leaves behind a sporting goods empire and legacy that his grandson Mahavir Singh, or Javi as he's better known, would like to see continue for decades to come.
He always had a strict side and a funny side. When he's strict, he was really strict. But when he was funny, he was very funny as well. He brought up my mom and my auntie in very strict, but he would also joke with them, and same as me, sometimes when we work together as well, he'd be strict in certain things and a bit stubborn at times when I try to convince him. But when it comes to relaxing, he does have stories and, you know, like he'll tell me stories about how when he was building this building and one story that I remember anyway. Because now it's, at the moment, it's 10 floors and he only got permit to build 8 floors. And then he told the officials that, sorry, I don't know how to count. So they're like...
Javi, who today helps run GS Gill in that building we just heard about, Wisma Harwant, he describes his grandfather as a very hardworking man. Tan Sri Dato' GS Gill apparently never took a day off from work and was helpful and generous to many people. So, was he always hands-on with the business even till the later years?
Yeah, always. He had to... be there, you know, physically, and he wanted to look at things physically as well. In terms of ordering, he was hands-on. In terms of showroom, he was hands-on. He's, the last maybe 10 years, I would say, 10, 12 years, he was in showroom every day, right? Yeah, he'll help in packing. He will talk to customers and see what they want.
But he was already in his 80s then, right?
Yeah. He's very active until, of course, the last few years. I guess, yeah, I guess in the end, you know, if you stay at home and don't do anything, you tend to, your health automatically tend to dwindle. Yeah. So I think being busy helped him a lot. Kept his mind off everything else. And he was very alert. He was very alert. He was quite sharp in certain things. So I think that kept him going. But of course, when he was in 90s, his memory kind of faded a bit. It happens, I mean, 90s is amazing. Yeah. Now, I mean, I can't remember things. So, yeah, you know, that affected him a bit, I guess, his memory. But otherwise, he was fine. He could walk, he could talk. But before that, he was like very, very active. He even used to drive to work until he was about 80 plus. Then we told him to stop. You know, because it's not safe. But yeah, he was very active, very hands-on. Used to be work early, go back, the last one to leave, that kind of thing, yeah.
Was he adaptable to change? Because I can imagine, you know, marketing sports equipment back in the 50s, 60s, and what it is today is just a completely different ballgame. So how did he take to that change and to technology?
It wasn't easy because, you know, I think they are more old school thinking. Like, why do we need this when this can work for you? But in time, I guess we had to show that you have to change. You know, it took a bit of convincing, but he was okay with it. I mean, certain aspects, I think he left it to his children to handle and was their call. But certain things, yeah, he was his decision and his ideas.
Was there anything that he was adamant about not changing?
Adamant about not changing? There were a couple of things. Like, let's say, trying to give good discounts, and he'd be like, no, we shouldn't, you know, or things that were really need to be cleared. He was a bit more adamant on stuff like that, but more things than not, he was okay.
So one of the things we haven't discussed is how he grew the business beyond Malaysia, how he expanded the GS Skill name from the flagship shop in Tunku Abdul Rahman into distributing to other parts in Malaysia and then finally moving on to other parts of ASEAN.
Okay, Malaysia-wise, he basically did on his own at first. He kept visiting states, every state, by bus, by train, and doing that regularly. Even though a person didn't buy it, he'd still go back and see them again. And for him, his concept was very simple. It should, whether it's $10 or $100, it doesn't matter, you know, as long as you get something first. And one of his ways was also, I mean, you take this first, you don't have to pay me the full amount, you pay me just 50%. After you sell, you pay me the rest. So that's how he encouraged people to order things from him as well, those days.
He was confident about his products.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think he's confident in himself also, that he can sell. And never take no for an answer.
The foundation that Tan Sri Dato' G.S. Skill laid is evident today as the store continues to be a go-to one-stop sports goods centre for people who live in KL. Harvey is also banking on G.S. Skill becoming an omni-channel in the years to come.
Lately we are on Lazada. You're on 11th Street, just got on Q10, but it's not up yet.
Was this pre or post Tan Sri Dato's passing?
Basically, I was here for... I joined here in 2001. I left in 2011. Mm-hmm. I came back again in 2014. I worked somewhere else for 3 years. I just wanted to get out experience elsewhere, but totally different industry. F&B. Then I came back here, and that's when all this was not implemented yet. And then slowly I had to convince, and slowly from Facebook to online.
social media. And
do you think that going online as well as having an brick and mortar shop has definitely strengthened the business?
Well, yeah, of course. I think you have to be current. You can't be, you know, what worked for us those days doesn't work now. And also more such that now you have to go see people rather than expect them to come and see you. Definitely helps. Not only just for our local market, it's also for foreigners. They do go online and they see, hey, let's go and get something from here. Yeah, it definitely helps. Definitely helps.
Did he mention anything to you about how the sporting world has changed? What did he think about sports in general, or consumption of sporting equipment goods, or just how technology has changed the sports world and the equipment that comes along with it? Did he share any thoughts with you on that?
Not really. No, not too much. I think in terms of technology-wise, of course, it evolved rapidly. But he was the type who just liked his own old stuff that worked. Yeah. In terms of evolution of the business, I think it's generally just when, you know, you don't, like, look back and say, wow. We do, on our own, we do, but we don't, like, talk about it like, wow, things are so different. Because it was just a gradual, it wasn't a major jump. It was just a gradual thing that moved people's taste, choose the style. You know, everything changed. Even in terms of ordering, he used to go out and then he'd look at it and he'd be like, whoa, this was never out before. Yeah, I think it was just a gradual thing. It wasn't, like, a thing that we got all shocked.
But with the influx of all these sporting lines into all these malls in Malaysia, did that in any way impact the business negatively, or did he have any thoughts on that?
For him, it wasn't like, okay, what other people are doing. I think he focused more on what we are doing to still be relevant, you know. And definitely shops that has opened everywhere else has affected the business a bit. That's normal. But you do get those also customers who don't show up for a certain period of time and then they come back again. You know, they of course they'll buy from other shops and all. But
this is essentially a one-stop center for.
No, yeah, exactly. So they know that okay, if I want to look for two or three or four things, I just can come here and get it. I don't have to go to different places to get it. Yeah, so that helps us a lot instead of being a very sport-specific outlet. We are more catered to everybody. That helps a lot.
Or brand specific.
Yeah, or brand specific.
It's really easy to see why people continue to come back to GS Guild. In the hour plus that we were at the shop speaking to Harvey, we met some pretty interesting customers from far and wide, most of whom were returning to the shop because their needs there were always met. Here's Muhammad Ali from Sabah, who makes a pit stop at GS Guild every time he's in Kuala Lumpur.
Ini dah banyak kali dah. Ha. Memang setiap kali turun KL yang kita orang parking sini.
Parking sini.
Parking sini. Tadi ini. Kedai ini.
Kenapa datang balik GS Guild setiap kali datang KL?
Mesti kita datang sini, tempat ni. Sebabnya strategik. Mungkin saya punya tempat lah, saya rasa kan. Kalau bilang nak datang sini, kalau ada yang berkenan, kita akan beli. So far memang sini tempat yang kita punya target lah kan. Biasa-biasa yang macam dia ada offer, sesuai dengan jiwa kita lah. Kan, tenang. Dulu tahun lepas saya datang sini, saya beli kasut. Ada yang berkenan kan, saya beli dua gitu, tiga. Saya buat pilihan. Choice banyak, Pak.
We also spoke to some employees of the store, some of whom have been with GS Guild for decades. And just a warning here, folks, there's going to be some major name dropping by Aziz here when he talks about some of the national athletes and sportsmen who used to frequent GS Guild back in the day.
Oh, my name is Aziz. Quite long working here. I don't know. Quite long already.
How long is quite long?
More than 30 years.
So you've worked directly under Tan Sri Dato GS Guild?
Yep. Mostly he that can call him a sportman. Every game he'd like to go. Sometimes we go with him to see there like Thomas Cobb, join him. Last time quite long already. got plan the what they call it, the top player like Kunalan, something like football, they go for sea football and something like that.
So do a lot of the Malaysian sportsmen come here to get
most of them, yeah. Like the swordsman like last time, like the Rabuan, yeah, the runner, Muntas apa. Quite long lah, we don't forget the name. The one what the jumper there. Zaki, you know Zaki, what they call it, Zaki. Triple jump, then a triple jump. Like football, Santok, Chandran, Asansani, Mokta Dari, you know, really. Like the hockey, Beijing Island, for Datuk Poklok. Mostly, we don't a lot of people like that. All the sportmen.
Why do you think they come to GSKill to buy their products?
Some we got the product here. Mostly whatever they needed, we got it here. Before, what they need, like running shoes, football or something like that, like javelin or something like that.
Okay, my name is Tiagarajan. Okay, I'm working here for 22 years. Okay, my job here is as a supervisor. I look after the showroom, the retail, the cleaners, and extra of the showroom. See, nowadays lifestyle, you see, more people like to be more casual than more office look, you see. So we have something like more casual wears, you know. It's more like sportswear. You know? Nowadays the trend is changing. We just say it's a sportswear, but more people are using it as a casual wear. Even like shoes. It's a tennis shoes still people using as a casual wear. It is not like back 20 years. This shoe are only used only for this purpose, you know. Then the market trend is changing. The lifestyle of the youth is changing. So we try to catch up with the market, with the youth, you know.
So you see the customer base changing as well?
Yes, customers are changing, you see. We got our regular customer who comes here about 20, 30 years. So we know what they want. They only look for what certain particular, you know. But youth, you know, nowadays youth is, they don't stand in one. They only like one for a way, you know. Like, not like back 30 years ago. They only want Adidas, They don't want to change. Nowadays youth is, you know, this year I'm wearing this, next year I'm going to change to Nike, a Puma, something, you know. So they like something different. It's totally different 30 years, 20 years back and now the market.
GS Gill was the first shop in Malaysia to bring in Adidas. But now you have another house brand.
House brand, okay. Either is something that is a brand, but important for us is the quality. Quality of the brand, you see. Whatever we sell, we want to be a better quality. It's we can compare to Adidas. Not mean we bring a third grade or something. No, we try to bring something, a good product for the customers to use and come back to us and say, yeah, this is good, something good. Yeah, we'll consider still buying more and more. That's where we can develop our Eda brand. And so far, Eda brand, most of them in KL, they know what is Eda brand because they comes and because GS Gill, everybody knows, it's a very old shop. A lot of people come here. They know what they want. They can get it in GS Gill.
I'm also sure you see a lot of repeat customers, customers who came in when they were younger and now bringing in families.
Yeah, a lot of them. Some of them, the customers that I never met before, although I'm working 22 years, they say, when I was schooling, I was 15 years old, 16, I used to come here and buy boots. And they still were 60, 70 years old, they come back and they still buy because they say, I trust in GS Gill of their products.
So what can we expect from GS Gill in the future? How do they plan to stay competitive and sustainable?
In the end, I think you just got to be current. You've got to know what the current trends are. And also, of course, online. Online presence has to... I think we do plan to increase our online presence as well. And hopefully in the future, also open up another outlet outside KL where it's accessible to people from that area, and just to basically get the brand name out there, and also maybe do a bit more sponsorship as well for teams. The way I believe is not just business wise, it's also how we help people. You know, I think that's very important. Improving people's lives, improving wherever we can. And of course, in terms of business, we want to live where you come in, you know you can get quality goods. It's not going to be half-baked goods that you can get. Yeah. And of course, be one of those business where you have a name where you've lasted at least for 100 years or something.
I've been speaking to Mahavir Singh, or Javi, who currently runs GS Skills Dayan Berhad in Jalan Tunku Abdul Rahman. If you miss any part of this Merdeka special, the podcast is available on our website, bfm.my, and on the BFM mobile app, which you can download on the App Store and on Google Play. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of the Enterprise team and everyone here at BFM, we wish you a Selamat Hari Merdeka. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.